38. I'm just going to read this one verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. We need your Spirit to do the work you've called us to do. We need your Spirit to minister to hearts in this place. I pray that you'd make our hearts supple, that we might have hearts of flesh and not hearts of stone. The Holy Spirit might do a work in us for thy glory. Change us into the image of Jesus Christ. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it in his precious name. Amen. Well, my family is feeling better this evening. We got home and everybody got a little nap this afternoon, so they're a little more chipper than they were and not quite as grumpy. We went up to Boone early Saturday morning and stopped at Blowing Rock and went shopping at all the stores and the thing there, and then went over to Boone, went through all the tourist traps, and had a nice dinner down at the Peddler, and had a big old steak. Boy, it was good. We enjoyed a good time with the wife and our girl and her children, had a wonderful time. And they went to singing last night, and it really was excellent singing. We really, really enjoyed it. It was long, and the seats were uncomfortable. It's in the new stadium there at Appalachian State University, and they crammed as many seats as they could possibly get into that stadium. And they're too narrow, and there's no room in front of you, and they're not comfortable seats. They're a little old fiberglass thing. And we were there about five and a half hours without a break. And my body will take weeks to get back to normal. But they had a great sound system and had some really, really great groups, and heard some tremendous singing, spent some time praising the Lord, and it was a blessing. Had to get up really, really early this morning and drive back from Boone, North Carolina to get here for church and all that. And as soon as church was over, man, we went home, took a nap. It was good. But last night when we were at the singing, you know, I always take a notebook with me to singing. A little pad or a little notebook or something. Because I get a lot out of the songs. For a fella that doesn't know anything about music and can't sing a note. I mean, just absolutely. Lester Roloff sang better than me. And that's really bad. But for a fella that can't sing, doesn't know anything about music, I love it. Amen. Honest to goodness, I just absolutely love it. And I like the music, and I like the up-tempo stuff. I know there are some beautiful, slower songs. There really are. And I'm glad y'all get a blessing out of them. But it just don't move fast enough to keep my interest. It's got to go, or I'm ready to move on to something else. Well, last night, the Greens were singing. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Greens or not. They're from Boone, North Carolina. They've been singing gospel music for 25 years. They got started singing at little 4th of July picnics and stuff in this area 25 years ago when they were just little children. And Tony Green has become quite a man. He's 248 pounds. But his brother, Tim, has been sick now for 3 years. And almost died a couple of times. And I'm not going to go into all the details of his sickness, but he had a fungus got in his sinuses and ate away the tissue inside of his head. And then it got in his bloodstream. And that guy has had 25 operations in 3 years. He looks like death warmed over. He got down on his knees last night, and his brother had to help him up. Just couldn't quite make it by himself. But he was up there singing, and he was going to preach at his home church this morning. That fellow hadn't got enough strength to walk around. And you know what the Greens sang last night? They said, the Lord has been good to me. I thought, Lord, shut my mouth wide open. Here I am, I get aggravated, I get ticked off about this, and if that don't go well, we fuss and complain and whine. You ought to hear us whine and cry. And I know if I do, you do. We are so spoiled. I mean, just unbelievably spoiled. And the least little thing doesn't go our way, or our little program gets messed up, or things don't run as smooth as they should, or our plans get interfered with, we just whine and cry and talk about how tough it is. And isn't it pitiful? I mean, it's just pathetic. Just pathetic. I got to thinking about that last night, and so I grabbed my little notebook and I made these notes. And I wrote down these eight things, and I'm going to share them with you tonight on this thought. The Lord has been good to me. That verse said, Jesus went about doing good. He did good to multitudes. And I'm sure everybody He did good for would be glad to stand up and testify how good God's been. But I can't testify for them. I can't even testify for you. But I can testify for myself that God has been good. Amen? Boy, I don't know how long you've been saved, and I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know how close you are to God. But I know this, if you know God, God's been good to you. Amen? I know this much. He's sure been good to me. So let me give you these eight things, and y'all go down to Wendy's and get you a hamburger or something. The Lord has been good to me. He was good to me when I was lost. Now, I know people say, well, the Lord don't hear your prayer, and God don't bless you, and God don't do this, that, and the other when you're lost. And a lot of that's true. God don't hear your prayer when you're lost. He's waiting for that prayer for salvation. I understand that. But the Bible also said that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And into every life there comes sunshine and rain. There's good and bad in everybody's life. Amen. So whether you like it or not, there's a sense in which if there's anything good in your life, it's from God. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you. I was 27 years old when I got saved. I lost as Hogan's goat on my way to a devil's hell. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the things of God and the people of God. And God was good to me anyway. Listen, when I was 27 years old, before I got saved, I should have been dead and in hell 100 times. God is my witness. Anybody lived like I did, had the attitude I had, said the things I said, should have died and went to hell and burned forever. But God Almighty in His goodness, God Almighty in His mercy, God Almighty in His long-suffering, let me live and gave me health and strength and took care of me. Even when I despised His name, even when I blasphemed Him before others, God was good to me. Now, I don't know how old you were when you got saved. Maybe you was a young'un. Well, God was good to you till then. Maybe you were 20 when you got saved. Then God was good to you for 20 years. Maybe you were 30 or 40 when you got saved. Then God was good to you for 30 or 40 years. God could have given you what you had coming. God could have given you what you deserved. God could have let you die and went to hell without ever saving you, without ever bringing you into conviction, without ever revealing Jesus Christ to you. And God would have been just in doing it. But He was good to you. He kept you alive. He kept you alive. He kept you healthy. He kept you strong. He let you have a job. He took care of you day by day. Lost, lost. God still took care of you. I'm sure glad God didn't give me what I had coming when I was lost. Not only has God been good to me when I was lost, He was good to me in my wife. Now, to me, this is a phenomenal thing. When I got married, I was lost, and my wife was lost. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't raised in a Christian family. She wasn't a Christian, and she wasn't raised in a Christian family. Now, she did go to church from time to time, but she used to go to them Methodist and Presbyterian things. Amen. Never heard much. But she'd go to church from time to time. She was a pretty good girl. I mean, she was a real pretty girl. Let's talk about that part a while. When I got married, I had no idea of the character of the woman that I was married. I just knew she was pretty and we liked each other and we had a good time. That's all I knew. That's all I wanted to know. That's all I was interested in. Somebody say amen. Amen. I know. Some of y'all, the first time y'all dated, you were looking for a wife and a godly woman. And you had your magnifying glass out, checking out her spirituality and her character traits, right? Yeah, I was watching mine walk away. Hello? What most of us were looking at. We're just interested in the flesh, that's all. We know what kind of character. Were they honest? Were they moral? Did they have strength of character? Did they have convictions about things? We didn't know any of that. We just saw something that looked good to us. It sounded good. We enjoyed their company. And so we said, let's get married. We're in love. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I'm telling you what, God Almighty was good to this old boy when He let me find that little old girl over there in Fort Mill. I got me a jewel. Now, God didn't have to do that. I was lost. I was a blasphemer of God's name. I took His name in vain all the time. I didn't frequent His house. I hated His people. I ridiculed Him and railed on Him. And yet when it come time to find a woman, God Almighty, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, gave me a woman that had character and strength. And there's an inner person in there that I've been able to lean on and hold me up and support me and pray for me down through 40 years. Couldn't ask for a better wife. I had nothing to do with that. I knew nothing about that. But God sure was good. I could have got one that was just hell on wheels all the time. Like Martin Luther said, you know, because his wife, Martin Luther's wife, she was a terror. She used to barge into church when he'd be up in the pulpit preaching and drag his suitcase behind him, dumping his clothes out down the middle aisle and say, I saw you last night down at so-and-so's house. Talking about some old woman. I mean, it wasn't true. She's made that stuff up. But boy, how'd you like for the preacher to be in the pulpit and his wife come down the aisle ranting and raving, dragging his suitcase? Somebody asked Martin Luther one time if he knew the devil. He said, sure I do. He said, I married his sister. But God gave me a good one. One is faithful and dependable. One that I can lean on. One I can trust. That's a blessing. I'm telling you what. Some of y'all sitting here tonight, you weren't spiritual giants when you got married, but God was good to you anyway. Amen? Amen. You got a husband or a wife that loves God and serves God. Boy, you ought to get your hands in the air and thank God Almighty. Amen. Not only that, He was good to me when He sent me a soul winner. That old boy's name was William R. Pace. William R. Pace is from Mississippi. He's a big old fella. He's a real smart man. Didn't have a lot of formal education or anything, but had a lot going on here. He had a good noodle, good head on his shoulder. He was a Bible student. William R. Pace had a burden for the lost. He witnessed to everybody. Boy, you get around William R. Pace, you're going to have to listen to the Bible. I didn't like William R. Pace. I hated all them Bible-thumping Jesus freaks. I hated all that whole church-going crowd. Me and God above, if there was a God above, knew they were all hypocrites. But God Almighty used that fella and that old Schofield Bible to lead me to Jesus Christ.
I was dead in trespass and sin. I was on my way to hell, and God worked that thing out to bring me across the path of a one fella who had the guts to stand up and look me eyeball to eyeball and say, boy, you're going to die and you're going to hell like a bullet down a gun barrel if you don't get saved. And I had a fella there that knew enough Bible that no matter what my question was, no matter how sarcastic it was, he had a verse for it. He could turn in that Bible and say, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. And that old boy beat me down one verse at a time. So on March 4th, 1972, 25 minutes after 11, Lot 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi, United States of America, planet Earth, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Thank God for the soul winner. Boy, if you're here tonight and you're saved by God's grace, God's been good to you. I don't know who He sent you away, but He sent somebody. Maybe it was the preacher at some little church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Or maybe it was a revival meeting. Or maybe you found a gospel track in the gutter or on the counter or in the restroom someplace. Or maybe somebody came by and asked. I don't know who or how, but I know that God was good and sent somebody by and you heard the gospel and you got saved by God's grace. Going to keep you out of hell. Don't tell me God ain't been good. God's been good. I thought about it many a time. I'm glad God sent the man He sent. I was an arrogant, cocky, cynical little fella. I was well read and well versed. And I'd give plenty of preachers a hard time down through the years. To be honest with you, I found out most preachers didn't know much Bible. That's honest truth. I met my match in William R. Pace. God had just the right fellow. Boy, God's been good. I'm saying, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God had just the right one for you, that you were there that Sunday morning or you went to that meeting and God the Holy Spirit used that man to speak to your heart and birth you into the kingdom of God? God's been good to you. Sure been good to me. He's good in sending a soul winner. Then He was good to me in my salvation. So, well, preacher, everybody knows salvation's good. Yeah, I know it, but let's talk about it anyhow. I was thinking about Brother Bobby Utley. I love Bobby Utley. He is a dear friend. He is a man of God. He is the same. Now, he is a country preacher, but he is the same no matter where you're at, no matter who you're with. I don't care if it's out in front of the church or behind the pulpit or down at Shawnee's. Bobby Utley does not change. I've been with him all kind of places. I've been with him for years and years. I've heard him preach over and over and over and over again. And Bobby Utley's the same. I love that guy. He loves God. And every time you get around him, if you ain't careful, Bobby Utley will be talking about Lane Street Baptist Church. Now, the reason he talks about Lane Street Baptist Church, because Lane Street Baptist Church is where Bobby Utley got saved. He went down there on a Sunday morning and God got all over him. And he used that little old preacher down there at Lane Street Baptist Church. And the last time we was up at his place, he was talking about Lane Street Baptist Church. And said somebody had hurt his feelings. They'd sent him an anonymous letter. I hate anonymous letters. I hate people who don't have guts enough to look you eyeball to eyeball. But somebody sent him an anonymous letter and said, "Dear Brother Utley, we are sick and tired of hearing about Lane Street Baptist Church. Ain't you got nothing else you can talk about?" To which he replied, "No." He likes talking about Lane Street Baptist Church. Amen. He said it was a real blessing to his heart. He said about a week after that, he said he'd come in there and said there's a little envelope laying on his pulpit. And he opened it up and there's a little card inside. And you could tell by the handwriting it was some little old youngin. And that little old youngin said, "Dear Pastor Utley, you talk about Lane Street. We love Lane Street. We thank God for Lane Street Baptist Church." I love that, don't you? I tell you, some people say, well, I'm saved. Yeah, but let's talk about it. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I remember the night. I remember the place. I remember the circumstance. I don't want to forget when I got saved. I want to stay excited about it. You know, when God saved me, boy, He was good. It was good then, and it's still good today. And it's good for a couple of reasons. Because one, when He saved me, He sealed me. Amen. Now, out there at the prison, this bunch of fellas I preach to out there, most of them are go to black churches, and most of them are charismatic, Pentecostal and stuff. And they get upset with all the guys that come out there and preach on eternal security. And they had a big row out there a year or so ago, wanting to make sure them fellas that came out there and preached didn't preach eternal security. So every time I go out there, I preach on eternal security. Now, I don't try to teach it to them. I don't try to make them believe it. I say, listen, pal, it's a free country. You got a right to believe that? I got a right to believe this. You got a right to preach on that? I got a right to preach on this. Amen? And I preach on it. So why do you do that? Because I'm eternally secure. That's why. My goodness, man, how in the world can you talk about being saved and not be talking about being sealed and kept by the power of God? Amen? I'm sealed under the redemption of the purchase of possession. I belong to God. I'm His. I'm bought and paid for. I'm not rented. Amen. Amen. I borrowed that from Brother Utley. He saved me. He sealed me. He keeps me. Man, what a deal. Amen. Getting saved is just about the best thing that ever happened to somebody. Amen. Amen. You get married, you talk about getting married. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, you get saved, you ought to talk about getting saved. Amen. You God's youngin', ain't you? Don't you want to talk about your father? Amen. I want to talk about mine. Which I need y'all to pray for mine. Mine not doing good at all. Amen. He kind of got better there for a few days, but he's had a real serious relapse. My daddy's not doing good. And so if you'd pray for him, we'd appreciate it. He can't get up and about at all now. But he's my dad. Now, he's a cantankerous sucker. Some of y'all know him, and that's probably the most aggravating fella that you ever met in your life. And I'm being kind. But boy, if he's on your side, you've got somebody on your side. If he loves you, he'll do anything in this world for you. Amen. You need backup. You need help. That's the guy, buddy. I guarantee you. He don't go half-stepping. He'll be right there, and he'll be there with all he's got. That's just the kind of guy he is. My dad. And I get aggravated with him sometimes and outdone with him sometimes. But that's the one God gave me. And I love him, and I'm proud of him. Amen. When I got saved, God became my father. And I love him, and I'm proud of him. He's been good to this old boy, and I want to talk about him a little bit. Amen. I come in here and tell you, Brother Carroll and Brother Bruce, about the races. I used to tease with Brother Tommy, but he don't get it about half the time. Brother Mark liked that, though, didn't you, Brother? I like teasing Carroll. I like talking about all this stuff. But man, there got to be some time. There's got to be a point when we put away the little things of this world and our little pursuit and get down to something worthwhile and talk about God. Talk about God. Talk about being saved. Talk about eternity. Talk about going home to glory. Amen. Amen. God's been good to me in His call to preach. I'm most unlikely candidate for the ministry you ever met. I was a high school dropout. I was a professing agnostic. I was a thoroughgoing evolutionist. I was Darwinian from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. I was bitter at Christian people, antagonistic toward the things of God, cynical about life. You'd never think God would call a fellow like that to preach. But God knows what He's doing. I thank God for His sense of humor. I couldn't believe it either. Boy, the first time it dawned on me, God calling me to preach, scared me to death. I think it scared my wife more than it did me. And I ran, I fought, I resisted for over a year. Turned my home upside down, turned my military career upside down. I was in trouble everywhere with everybody. One night I was sitting in a bathtub, had a hot tub of water. I was depressed. I was dejected. You don't see me that way often. Amen. I just didn't know what else to do. I had offered every excuse and run every which way I knew to run. I sat there in that tub at night until the water got cold. And after a while, my wife stuck her head in the door and she said, "Why don't you just give up and do what God wants?" And she closed the door. I was sitting there in that tub of water. Water was cold. I'm naked as a jaybird. And I got down on my knees in a tub of cold water. And I said, "Lord, if you give me that peace back that I had when I first got saved, I'll do anything You want. I'll preach as hard as I know how. I won't show any favoritism. I won't compromise. I'll be what You want me to be." Amen. "If You just give me that joy back." And boy, the peace of God came through me that night. And I knew right then God wanted me to preach. And I've been preaching every week since. I don't turn invitations down. I don't get many. I'm going to preach at a, is that a Nazarene tent revival next month over in Clover.
This month?
Yeah, in a couple of weeks. I don't care. I'm going to go preach, buddy. I remember last year or something, they had some crazy thing out there at the prison. Not on the side where I preach, but on the other side where Mrs. Sanderson used to go out there and tutor. And she got me invited out there to preach. Man, I went out there and I preached. And I preached just like I preach here. That's the only way I know how to preach. And they had a whole bunch of other workers, you know, not the prisoners. The prisoners liked it, boy. I mean, they was having a time. It was, they had about 25 or 30 people that come out there to minister to the prisoners was there that night to sing and minister and all that. And I was the speaker. And I preached, buddy. I preached for about 45 minutes. I mean, I ran and raved and spit over the first three rows, you know. And the preacher, the prisoners out there, they were hollering, "Amen, glory to God." They were having a good old time. And honest before God, I'm not exaggerating. All them other people that was there to minister to the prisoner was all sitting back going. It was a riot, boy. I didn't get invited back last year. So why? I told God I would preach. And I'd preach as hard as I know how. And I would try not to show favoritism or compromise. And buddy, for 30 years, I've been trying by the grace of God to do just that. So why? Because He gave me that peace that night. And I ain't going to lose it again. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm telling you, buddy, God has been good to me. Number six, God's been good for 30 plus years. I'm talking about the road of life. Had good health, made a decent living. I've had a place to preach almost every week for 30 years. Even when I didn't pastor, I had places to preach. The strangest places, come up the funniest ways, out of the most oddball situations,
God, find me some place to preach. Well, He's been good to me. Been good. Well, I bet if you look back over your Christian life, if you was honest, if you was really honest, you'd say God's been good to you. Kept you pretty healthy, has He? Kept you fed. Blessed you when you were down and out. When trouble came and you didn't know which way to go, He strengthened you, supported you, comforted you, gave you peace in time of trouble. I bet you God's been good to you.
Amen.
I know this. Been good to me. I know this. He will be good to me on down the road. I believe that God will be good and bless me just like He always has. That doesn't mean that you won't have problems. That doesn't mean trouble won't come. It doesn't mean there won't be hard times. But it does mean God will be there to comfort and get you through them. It does mean you don't have to face life's problems alone.
Amen.
Amen. He'll bless us with and be good to us in the blessings of life. I think God will bless us down the road when it comes time to die. I believe God gives dying grace. I was thinking about this. Now, I like the mountains. I don't like the beach. I know that some of y'all are down there, but if you enjoy the beach, what's funny about that? Oh. But there's nothing inherently sinful about the beach. It's just a dumb, ignorant place to go. I'm just teasing. My personal preference is the mountains. But a year or so ago, they had a thing called Singing in the Sun down at Myrtle Beach. And there was a talent contest, and we took our grandkids down to enter the contest. And we're driving down there, and there was a couple of things dawned on me. And I've been looking for 2 years for a place to use this illustration. Do you know what occurred to me as we drove down to the coast? I could smell it before I ever saw it. 50 miles away from the ocean, I could smell the ocean. You couldn't hear it, and you couldn't see it. But that salt in the air, that wind off the surf, carries way, way inland. And you get down there, and there's a subtle change in the air. You smell it. You can almost taste it. You get down 20, 25 miles from the coast, from the beach, and you know you are close to an ocean. I never noticed that before, but I noticed that the other year driving down there. And I got to thinking about that. When I was 25, we used to talk about heaven and stepping off on the other shore, getting on Jordan's stormy bank, you know, standing on the other side, crossing over, sailing across life's tempestuous sea. Now, I believed it. I mean, I knew it was there. I believe it's real. And I know that one day I'm going. But it was a head thing. I know there's an ocean down there about, 150, 160 miles from here to Myrtle Beach, something like that, whatever it is. I know there's a big old ocean down there. I can't see it from here. I can't hear it from here. It's while I know it and I believe it, it's not a reality to me in everyday life. But as we drove down there that day, when we got close, I could smell it. I'll tell you something else. As we approached that ocean, I knew we were approaching the ocean, not because of the smell, but because of the lay of the land. It got flatter. It got sandier.
The water was brackish. There's little telltale things to tell you that you're approaching the coast. Amen? I don't know how in the world anybody could end up in the ocean and be surprised they got there. There are things that tell you before you get there, you're almost there. The land changes. The air changes. When I've been preaching 30 years, and I'm not 25 anymore, I'm 57. And when I talk about heaven now, it's not because I read about it in the book, because I can smell the air. I'm a lot closer than I used to be. To tell you the truth, I can see the changes in the landscape. This old gray hair, this old skin, got a couple little skin cancers there, and got a couple more on my neck. I wear out quicker than I used to. After about 30, 36 hours, I ain't worth killing anymore. See what he's saying? I'm saying I've been traveling down this road 30 years. And I'm not to the coast anymore yet. But I'm on my way, and I'm a lot closer. Matter of fact, I'm close enough, I can begin to smell the change in the air. Heaven's getting a lot more real. For one thing, I got a lot more folks over there. Well, I preached a bunch of funerals. Buried a lot of people. And some of them family. I buried two grandmothers. I buried my mama. I buried my brother. Heaven's not just the thing I talk about. Heaven's getting real. Some of you sitting here tonight got some years on you. You smell the air? Smell the air? See the change in the land? You're getting closer. You're getting closer. Just right down the road now. It's not a lifetime away anymore. It's just right down the road now. But you know something? When we were driving down to the beach, to the coast, when we got down there, Highway 17 North or whatever it is, you come into town, I can't keep all that stuff straight. That just is not the kind of stuff that sticks in my head. But whatever road it is, we got down there. We weren't depressed. We didn't say, oh man, we're finally here. You know what we were saying? We've been in that car all day long with three rowdy young'uns. We were saying, thank God we're here. Let's find our motel and unload this thing and take a shower. Let's find our motel and get refreshed. You understand what I'm saying? I'm 57. I've been traveling down that road 30 years. I can see the lay of the land starting to change. I can smell the salt water. And I'm saying, thank God. Thank God. It's not frightening. It's not something you dread. I'm saying, just a little while. In just a little while, we'll be there. Let's go in and refresh ourselves. Amen. Boy, God's been good to me. God's been good. Has God been good to you? Let me say this, and I'll close. If you're not saved, if you're not, God wants to be good to you. Maybe you're here tonight and you are saved, but you're not living like you're saved. God wants to be good to you. All you got to do is let Him. I heard my wife say to about our grandchildren the other day, because they are good kids. They really are good kids, but they are kids, and they are strong-willed, and they are active minds, and you have to stay on them. I'm telling you, you can't give them an inch. And they will try you and they'll push you just as far as they can. That's just the nature of youngins. And I heard my wife say to my daughter, them kids, just, she was mad at them. She said, they just won't let you be good to them. I mean, they're just doing, always doing something where you got to fuss at them. When what you want to do is do something good for them. God's got a lot of youngins out there, and it just won't let him be good to them. They just won't get their life in line. They just won't be submissive. They won't obey. And honest, God wants to be good. Sister, I want you to come play. You play anything you want. I'm not going to sing or anything. And I want to give an invitation tonight, and here's what I want to do. If you're here and you're saved and God has been good to you, maybe why don't you just come on down front and just spend a few minutes talking to God and thanking Him for His goodness. God's been a blessing to you. I mean, God's had His hand on your life. Maybe you ought to just come and just say, Lord, I sure do thank you because you sure have been good to me. Sure have been good to me. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Maybe you ought to come. Let me sit down with the Bible. Show you from God's book how to get saved. God wants to save you. You don't have to stay lost. Maybe you're here tonight, you're saved. You know you're saved. God knows you're saved. But you just live in such a way you just won't let God be good to you. Listen to me. It's the desire of God's heart to be good to you. But you've got to let Him. You've got to let Him. Maybe you ought to start to come tonight and get that fixed up and say, Lord, I've been rebellious and I've been cantankerous and I've been self-willed. But I want you to be good to me. I want to get it fixed up. Whatever you need is. Boy, a lot of folks down here tonight, and they're saying, Lord, you sure have been good to me. I don't know how in the world you can be saved by God's grace, be healthy enough to be in church, clothes on your back, food in your belly, not understand that God has been so good to us. You could be Tim Green. It could be so bad, but God has been good.